Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Burrow's furniture is built for the way you live. From ensuring easy assembly and disassembly to honoring highly requested new colors for their award-winning seating, they always have their customers in mind. Their modular seating is made out of durable materials to last and grow with you. And with Burrow, you always get fast, free shipping. Get up to 60% off during Burrow's Memorial Day sale at burrow.com/ACAST. That's burrow.com/ACAST. burrow.com/ACAST.
Hello everyone and welcome to another episode of the Roker Report podcast in association with Sunny Group Soup Kitchen. It's Garth back between two games here. Preston, the game we lost on the weekend, and of course coming up we've got a lovely, lovely game against Rotherham. So, you know, doesn't get any better than that, does it? This is the championship after all. Join us is Chris. Hiya mate.
Hello Gavin. Yes, really easy start to the season, isn't it?
Piece of piss. You know, it's going to walk the league, I think. Also with us is Craig. Hiya, mate.
Evening, lads.
Is your last stop jabbing you about the defeat?
No.
Because we talked about this on the preview, didn't we, that you wanted to bring home the bragging rights from Deepdale and you didn't, unfortunately.
Yeah, I don't think anybody left that away and probably more disappointed than me. Tail between my legs. Certainly a far cry from obviously our 3-0 win down there a couple of months ago. So, yeah, real disappointing one.
Well, if it's any consolation, my missus is from Rotherham and guess who we play next? So I'm probably going to get tortured when we get beat. We've got two games to talk about here. We'll start off with Preston because we're a little bit late this week with the podcast. Please forgive us, listeners. But yeah, we played Preston at the weekend. Don't want to sit here and dement you too much by talking about another defeat for Sunderland. But we've got to talk about it, unfortunately, don't we, Craig? Yeah, like you said, you came away from the ground disappointed. I think me sitting at home, I was just as disappointed watching it because we played pretty well. We were dominant for most of the game. You know, you look at the statistics, Sunderland had 65% of the ball. Preston, the home team, had 35%. They had two shots on target and 1-2-1. And it's like you come away and you think, well, did the performance merit more than what we got? I would say so. You know, even in hindsight, immediately after the game, I felt exactly the same. I know there was a bit of reaction afterwards on social media and stuff, and people weren't happy. But like, even in hindsight, all these days later after the game, I'm looking back at the performance and thinking we deserved something out of that. We didn't deserve to lose it. You could argue we didn't deserve to win it too, and that would be fair enough. You know, maybe we didn't because for all of our dominance on the ball and creating the chances that we didn't make the keeper work enough. And that's ultimately why we came away without anything from the game. And I think even the most negative Sunderland fan would look at this and think we at least deserved a point. And that's probably what hurts more. It actually hurts me a lot more than the Ipswich game because I felt like we, out of the two games, this is the one we probably deserved something out of more.
Yeah, I fully agree with that. I thought we reacted fairly well to the disappointment of the Crewe game. First half, I thought, was pretty evenly matched. And then lo and behold, as luck would have it, when, you know, feels like the world's against you, Preston score from pretty much an almost identical situation to the week before. Heads did not go down, continued well, got ourselves back into the game, really capitalised on some of the inexperience they had at their left fullback. And then when we get the equaliser, you think, look, we've got to kick on here. We've really got to try and strive. But I felt like when we come back out after half-time, we were a little devoid of ideas. We weren't prepared to take any risks around their box. Perhaps complacency set in a little bit. And once again, I suppose, we're caught out in possession, Preston counter-attack, and then lo and behold, touch of fortune, they go 2-1 up. And once again, we're chasing a game. And I think the disappointing thing really is like you said, it's a game where we're Ross Stewart or an Amad Diallo away from winning that game fairly comfortably. And I know perhaps we've looked a little bit cheeky at the back, but We had them on the ropes, but we just really do lack a bit of a cutting edge at the moment. We can get into team selection a little bit later on. I think Tony Mowbray got it definitely wrong. But yeah, by Christ, it's a game that we certainly should have come away with something. When I left the ground, you know, in conversation with a lot of their fans, just about every single one who I spoke with all said the same. They feel that they got away with one. But look, at the end of the day, we've played okay. We haven't come away with anything. I would certainly prefer roles reversed, that we played terrible and we'll come away with 3 points, but it's just as luck would have it at the moment.
Yeah, does that concern you at all, Chris? Because, you know, you look at the two games we've played, Ipswich, we scored 4 minutes from the end of normal time and had really struggled to create anything and carve them open. And then you come along to the Crewe game, who are a League Two side, and it's a cup game, and I know it's a, you know, it's a weird one because there's only like 1.5 stands open for the game, and it's a changed team, and but we didn't really look like cutting them open. And then the next game after that, Preston, we actually looked really, really good around the box, created lots of chances, had clear chances. You know, there's the 0-9 header towards the end, which I think he should have buried, if I'm honest. It's an absolute sitter. You've got the chance which Roberts missed. You've got the chance which Barr missed. You've got the chance which Barr had on a plate to pass to somebody and balls it up. Like, we had chances, but does it worry you that we don't have a cutting edge at the minute? Because it does feed into this whole discussion around forwards, doesn't it? Everybody can see it's as clear as day we need a centre forward. Not just us as fans. The club clearly know this because Tony Mowbray, he never stops talking about it. So they're very much aware of what we need. And then in the performances, you're seeing the result of that, where we just don't have a person capable of finishing off chances. Does that worry you at all?
Well, there's a clear repeating pattern, isn't there? I mean, basically, you know, it's obvious. In the two games, because look, I'm not going to bring Crewe into the equation. That's a glorified friendly as far as I'm concerned. I've thrown that out of the equation. Let's, you know, we're looking at the Ipswich game. We're looking at the Preston game. And there's a repeating pattern. I mean, there's, you know, if teams this season look at us and say, well, you know, on paper, they haven't changed much. Because, I mean, you look at the starting 11 from that game, and what, you're only looking at basically Bellingham and Dak from the starting lineup that started at Preston, who weren't around last season. So you've got to, you know, clubs are looking at us going, oh, right, well, where did we get it wrong last season? They could look at tapes of us against them last season and go, well, how did they line up? Because they're going to do the same again. And I thought Clark and Roberts were much better than they were against Ipswich. But having said that, Preston clearly had a game plan, as did Ipswich. Like, it's the second time around now, but it doesn't seem like we've got new ideas, and it seems like we've lost a few ideas that we had last season. So there's a lot of one-dimensional play about us where, don't get me wrong, Clark and Roberts are possibly good enough to pull it off, but at the same time, you need a bit more. And if you're only knocking it out wide to Clark and Roberts to do everything for you and put something on a plate to someone, it's not happening. Like you said, we need options. And look, the Northern need a striker. That's no secret. Mowbray wants one. The club want one. We're trying to get one. But on the other hand, you know, in these two games, we could have had a top-class striker up front and he might not have had a chance. So, yeah. You know, it's that thing we've got. Yes, we need a striker. We need someone in place. But also, we need to mix it up a bit. Like, you know, that first game against Ipswich, I felt sorry for Amir because nobody slung the ball in the box for him. Nobody put it anywhere near him. The ball, you know, I can't remember the ball bouncing 10 yards away from him. And, you know, we need to mix it up a bit. You know, Clark and Roberts need to lay it off rather than trying to do everything themselves and produce a kind of worldie at the end of it. I'm not saying Clark and Roberts, there's anything wrong with the way they're playing, because they are just fantastic players and they're getting on with it. We need to put things around them to help them. We need to give them something to supply for them to be able to actually have an end product. So, yeah. Yes, there's concerns, but on the other hand, I think in those two games, look, and I think this should just be a given. I think we all probably realise this, but like, we've played well enough in those two games. Like, we'll be okay. Everything will be fine. Like, we'll start, like, we play like that. If you have that much possession, and I think we created more chances at Preston, the chances we created at Preston were slightly better than what we created against Ipswich.
Yeah.
But what I'm saying is, I'm concerned, but the way we're playing, if we get that front man up front, or even I'd like to see us persevere with Hamia, but, you know, learn to play with a striker, we'll be fine.
Yeah, and what you just said there about learning to play with a striker is what strikes with me, because more so in the Ipswich game than the Preston game, it definitely felt as though, Craig, that in that game, we kind of forgot how to play up to a striker, which seems weird to say, because all the way through pre-season, we were fine playing up to a striker. It just seemed as soon as we got back to the Stadium of Light in a proper game that the wingers kind of forgot that they had somebody in the box. And maybe it's a trust thing. You know, Hemia's only young, and, you know, the likes of Clark and Roberts, they're pretty experienced and bullish players, and they have a lot of belief in their own ability. And maybe it's a case of when Ross Stewart's in the box, they understand him and they know where to put it, and they know that, you know, we knock it into this area, Ross is going to do this, that and the other, and we can trust him. Where with Hemia, maybe the trust isn't there. There's definitely, I think on Mowbray's part, there is a lack of trust for Hemia. But I felt sorry for him, because I felt like, and Chris touched on it there, in the Ipswich game, nothing came near him. He got, a lot of people were slaughtering him after it, and I couldn't understand it. I spoke to a lad yesterday who was like, oh, he's terrible, him. He's terrible. And I was like, how can you get that impression off half a game of football? Where if you actually watch it back and analyse the performance, they basically ignored he was even in the box most of the time. Then he doesn't play any part in the Crewe game, which is fair enough. And then he's put on the bench at Preston. I mean, you've talked about this already away from the pods, Craig. You know, to bring in a half-fit Bradley Dack, who's not a centre-forward. And like, and I can remember me and you, Chris, talking about this before the season started, about how confident Hemia must be from what he achieved in pre-season. He got 4 goals in pre-season. And to me, all of these actions from Mowbray, Craig, must have knocked this lad's confidence. He's been playing for the under-21s this week. And I know people are going to say, well, we should sign players who are ready, we should do this, we should do that. He's the only centre-forward we've got. He's had a good pre-season. And after a half of football, people are going to write him off already. I don't think he's been managed well, actually, in the last couple of weeks, if I'm going to be brutally honest. I know we're pretty, you know, we're pretty supportive of everything Tony Mowbray does, but I've got to call that out as I see it. You know, I think we all understand the striker situation, but when you've only got one of them, why not try and make it work? And it feels as though everything that's happened in the last week and a half or so tells me that he hasn't been managed very well.
Well, I would say first and foremost, you know, kind of assessing somebody after, like you said, what, 50, 60 minutes against Ipswich and just saying that he's naff, it's, look, he's going to take a little while to settle. In respect of obviously how he's got on in pre-season, he's done really well. You would ideally like to think that they have a bit of a familiarity with playing with him now. They've whipped crosses in for him and he scored. So he's demonstrated that he has, you know, the right attributes for us. I think in terms of, like I say, the selection, I mean, when I got in the ground, I didn't have any signal on my phone, and there was a few people who'd mentioned the lineup. And I'll be honest, I found it a little bit insulting, truth be told, when he came out with his reasoning to say that, you know, he basically wanted to play Dack as this false nine against Preston's 3 centre-backs. And if you think about it, Bradley Dack's not very tall. So ultimately, straight away, we can't aim any crosses at him. Like you said, he's half fit. He didn't feature, you know, at all, really, towards the end of pre-season. He didn't come on against Mallorca. He didn't play at Hartlepool. And you think those were the games to maybe embed him in, get him a couple of minutes. Like I say, he came on a Crewe. He looked okay, but that's against League Two opposition. But to expect him to lead the line away from home in a place where, you know, traditionally Preston are a very dogged and determined side. If they want, they can, you know, really make it uncomfortable for you. They're all big physical players. So I just thought straight away that was kind of setting us up on the back foot. And like you say, for Hemia, confidence-wise, it's not going to do him any good just to take him out the firing line straight away. And you think for all the chances we did create, you want a striker in there. And yes, okay, he's young, he's inexperienced, but at the end of the day, he still knows, you know, what his job is to do. His job is to put the ball in the back of the net. Perhaps positional awareness, things like that, may not be there as of yet because it's going to be a huge learning curve. But give him a chance, because when we don't have any other strikers fit at the moment, this is where he can really shine for us. And especially if we're creating the number of chances that we are. I mean, that for me, that's why I'm not panicking at the moment. Like I say, it's kind of gone full crazy meltdown in terms of the past 2 games. So, like I say, if we're still creating all of these opportunities, surely having a striker on the pitch is the right solution to try and actually win us a game. I'm actually a little bit concerned now that the fact that he played in the 21s game, and I'm wondering whether that's going to have any impact on whether he's involved against Rotherham. I mean,
well, sorry to butt in, mate, but I'm wondering whether he's played that 21s game, and Mowbray's actually mentioned this quite a bit. I don't think he thinks he's fit. I think he thinks he needs more, because he's talked a lot about how him, every time he talks about him, yeah, he talks about how he's struggled with the pace of everything. And if, does he think he's not fit? Maybe Chris, I'm just trying to work out how he, I know I said, like, I feel like he's been managed poorly, him, yeah, in the last couple of weeks. And Mowbray might argue that by taking him out, he's actually doing him a favour, but I'm just trying to work, what do you think about what he's done? Because I can't work it out, if I'm honest.
Well, following on from what Craig says, he's absolutely right. The decision to start with Bradley Dack up front, who hasn't had a pre-season, who's half fit, who's struggling for fitness, to start him up front against Preston, who've got big bruisers at the back, who are proper championship defenders, just made no sense at all. And the way he tried to explain it after was that, oh, he didn't think, and I think it was touching on what you said about his fitness. I think he said something about he's a bit concerned that him, he can't press from the front like he wants him to. Well, I mean, that's not exactly Bradley Dack's game, is it? I mean, he's not kind of going to chase the ball down up front. I mean, that's not his game at all. And the other aspect to it as well is that, if he's going to play a false nine, like, if you're Alex Pritchard,
I know,
and you've been playing that position, and you've actually had a half decent pre-season, and a half fit new signing who Tony Mowbray is known from his past gets straight in the team, and you're sitting on the bench. I mean, he must have been watching that first hour thinking, what have I done wrong? And basically, is it worth giving my agent a ring and saying, well, actually, can you ring around? Because what's the point? Because, well, I mean, you've got a 17-year-old who started ahead of him, which he's probably looking, thinking, how many games am I going to get alongside him? And it sounds like Mowbray might have had a word, because he was talking about rotating them out and all that sort of stuff in pre-season. But then now he's brought Dack in, and Dak seems to be ahead of him for the false nine, and Bellingham's ahead of him for just behind. The other and obviously the impact on Hamia's confidence, that he's being dragged straight out for a half-fit new signing who that's not his natural position. So there wasn't one thing that went in the favour of putting Bradley Dack up front. There wasn't any kind of thing that I could think of, and it was all negatives as far as I could see. I mean, it might have come off and Bradley Dack might have smashed two in, fair enough, but you know, as it turned out, you know, it just didn't seem to make sense, and it wasn't right the right decision. I didn't really get it. Still don't.
No, well, we were talking on the preview, me and Craig, about how we might bring him in, because Mowbray had said, you know, in the aftermath of that Crewe game, he'd been really impressed. I had actually thought he looked pretty good. He only played a half, though. And I was thinking, and I think Craig was too, when we were doing the preview, thinking more along the lines of he might play in that 10 position behind him here. You know, I was not expecting what happened to happen with regards to the team shape. And Mowbray explained it away after the game by saying that he felt like playing Hamia up against three centre-halves would have been the wrong thing to do, and that we went more with the system that served us well last season, where we played with the false nine. And I can get that if it's Pritchard playing, because Pritchard's fit. Or God forbid it was, you know, even Chris Rigg, who's, you know, had a good pre-season and played well against Crewe in that cup game, and maybe looking at him and thinking, well, he could probably do that. He could probably do that role, dropping in deep, and, you know, if you want someone to arrive late and score goals, but he's fit. The most important thing to me was that whoever plays, you know, two, three games into the season has to be fit. And that was what was concerning to me, was that he went with the false nine system. Haven't really got a problem with that. I would have preferred him yet to start, but, you know, it is what it is. But then he went with somebody who wasn't fit. And I, like you say, Pritchard must be looking at that and thinking, what the hell's going on? And I know you were at the game, Craig, and you mentioned that a bit of a strange atmosphere at full time, wasn't there? And Pritchard was involved in that.
Yeah. I mean, like I say, it's worth noting that it doesn't look like there's any disconnect, certainly between the fans and the players. I know obviously there's been a bit of an uproar on social media, but that's just not indicative of what's actually happening in the grounds. They've been applauded off every game they've played so far, and it was the same at Preston. The concern for me was the body language from the players. They just looked a bit flat and defeated. And of course, look, the professionals, and you know, they used to perform very well, especially towards the back end of last season, but something looked a little bit off. Pritchard in particular as well, you know, he just looked devastated. And the annoyance is he's come on in two games so far, and in my opinion at least, he's changed them straight away.
Yeah, definitely.
He's got us further up the field. And I look at somebody like Alex...
I would say three games, by the way, because when he came on against Crewe,
yeah,
he improved us as
well. Yeah, that's fair. I mean, if you look at Pritchard... I just can't get my head around at all why it looks like him, Lyndon Gooch and Danny Bart, it looks like they're all perhaps getting forced out the door, and if rumours are to be believed. And I look at Pritchard, I look at all three of them, and you've got three lads there who are accustomed to carrying the weight and the expectations, basically, of our fan base. You know, they're all good characters, they're good in the dressing room, and you look at that the other day where it's getting a little bit tough. We brought him on, and all of a sudden... we had a bit of an inventiveness again. You know, he was spraying the ball out wide and we were getting further forward. And again, what let us down was having no striker. So basically, yeah, I can totally understand it, you know, for players to maybe be a bit disheartened. And I think Pritchard in particular is probably going to be the one who's feeling it the most, because ultimately it looks like we've signed Bradley Dack to take his position. And for me, it's just not a good idea. So looking towards the end of the week, obviously we'll get towards the Rotherham game, but Alex Pritchard has to start that game for me. He's a very, very influential player. He's demonstrated throughout the course of his time here how important he is to us. And the idea of just kicking him out of the club, or at least, you know, forcing his hand maybe to look elsewhere, it's just not the right thing to do. I think we've got a responsibility to at least, you know, treat him better than that, because over the course of the past couple of weeks, something really strange is going on.
Yeah, and like I say, we're not obviously privy to what conversations are being had, and you can sort of read between the lines. It does feel as though, I can't really speak on Gooch's case, because I don't think he would have been starting games anyways, and I know he's injured, so, you know, maybe it's a little bit different with him. But certainly in the case of Danny Bart and Alex Pritchard, the fact that they're not starting games tells you we're going a different direction. It probably tells you that those players, and the rumour was that they've been told that they're not going to have the deals renewed, and you know, they're free to leave if a good offer comes in and all the rest of it. And Mowbray's been asked about it, and it was specifically about Bart, which I remember, and he said something along the lines of, you know, we haven't, our phone's not been ringing, you know, he's still our player, he's still part of the squad, blah, blah, blah. But you can kind of see where this is going, Chris, can't you? And I'm sort of wondering, with those being experienced players, who are probably looking at the next couple of weeks thinking, I'm probably only going to be here a few more weeks. But, you know, pros, though, you know, they come in every day, work hard. When they do come on the pitch, they do their best. You would never level at them that, you know, they would phone it in or anything. But it's going to change the mood and the atmosphere around the place when you've got big, experienced voices in the dressing room who probably know they're not going to be here very long. They've got mates in the dressing room who you know, enjoy their company, you know they're probably leaving. It sort of takes the focus away from what happens on the pitch a little bit, doesn't it? You want everybody get, like, at times towards the end of last season when we had injuries and there was problems, and you could pick the team very easily. You knew what the 11 was going to be, but that gave us a bit of focus because the players knew they were starting, they knew each other's game, they were very much focused on the task at hand, and it worked. Whereas for now, like I say, those players might not leave, but it certainly feels like while the transfer window is still open and while that's hanging over us, that there's just something not quite right. And I'm not sure what, I can't really put my finger on it, but I think Craig's right there. You know, Pritchard maybe having a decent pre-season and not looking like he's fancied, it seems odd. And obviously Mowbray mentioned it, didn't he? When he was talking about the 10 position, he said he was going to rotate Dak, Bellingham and Rigg this season. He never even mentioned Pritchard, and that stood out to me. So there's obviously just, there's something not right, isn't there, at the minute?
Yeah, well, for me, the Pritchard's the strangest one out of the three, because Pritchard's been sharp all pre-season. I think if you're Alex Pritchard now and you've been really sharp all pre-season, you've looked good, you've probably, you know, he looks as sharp as I've ever seen him since he's come to the club, actually. He looks, you know, every time he's on the ball, he looks dangerous, and he's got a, you know, he looks like he's looking up, he looks like he's got a bit of energy about him. And, you know, he's going into the season thinking this could be a cracking season. And then he's, you know, he's kind of on the bench and he's kind of getting splinters in his backside. And he's probably thinking, well, why? And especially the fact he's watched the Ipswich game where we had so much possession and didn't create anything. And, you know, a player like Alex Pritchard, he's been around the block. You know, he's been at a lot of clubs. he's probably watching the game thinking, well, hang on, hello. He's probably like, he's probably wanting to tap Tony Mowbray on the shoulder and say, give us a chance, you know, let us try and create something. Because, you know, he must be devastated with seeing what's getting in ahead of him and not being given a chance. But look, we've got a big squad and all that sort of stuff. But with the fact we've gone through these games where we've struggled to create, he's one of our creative players. He should be given a bit more of a chance. The Gooch one, look, I think Lyndon Gooch would be, you know, he's not daft. I think he'd be the first to admit that he was going to be on the fringes of this team. And he was going to maybe start 10 to 15 games this season if he was lucky, to be honest. And he was going to be in around the matchday squads more than anything else. But if it looks like he might not be, you know, even on the bench at times, nobody would blame him for looking at for a move before the window shut. And the Danny Bart one, and I think this one is just football. A player of his age coming to the time of his career. He was brilliant last season, didn't go wrong. But at some point, you've got to kind of think about what direction you're going in and how much game time do you give him. Danny Bart's not daft. He knows that, you know, at this stage of his career, he finds clubs who are in a position where they need a Danny Bart and they need him in there all season for 30 games. And that's what he wants because, you know, he doesn't want to sit on the bench or anything at this stage in his career, which is absolutely, you know, it's fine. It's fair enough. And there's going to be, if he stays, there's going to be times this season where we're going to need him, whether it's injuries, suspensions or just simply we're shipping in goals and we need someone like Danny Bart at the back for a bit, whether we play three at the back and protect them a bit more and stuff like that. But at the same time, he's at that stage of his career where he's like, I need games. And the direction that I think Tony Mowbray is going in, and to be fair, Luke O'Nien's done this job in the two games. Dan Ballard's been the bruiser at the back. He's been the proper centre-half who's got the big lad and shook him up a bit. You know, he did that against Ipswich and he did that against Preston, but Luke O'Nien's the one who gets the ball at the back and he zips the ball into midfield. He whips it in there to kind of kick off the tempo from the back. So they've got that partnership going. And to be fair, in the two games, we've looked fairly solid at the back. And the goals have come from, you know, it was two errors, you know, Luke giving the ball away in daft positions against Ipswich. And, you know, the first goal against Preston was that horrible deflection. But the second goal was giving the ball away in stupid positions again. In the middle of their half and they broke up and went and scored. So we've been caught on the break through our own possession and trying to break the opposition down because we're struggling. And, you know, and then we've got deflections on top of that. So the defence have looked all right. So if you're Tony Mowbray, you're not that concerned. You're more concerned about the front players giving the ball away. So we get caught on the break and the midfield being caught out of position when they shouldn't be. I think it was Ekwa and Bellingham who gave the ball away in their half. And then Ekwa was out of position and it was, you know, the ball played in behind and, you know, and all that sort of stuff. So with the three of them, I think that they're in very different positions. But I think the most who should be aggrieved is Alex Pritchard out of the three.
Yeah, I think that leads us into the Rotherham game quite nicely because obviously what we haven't talked about is what we would do to try and fix whatever problems we've had, right? You know, we've kind of mentioned it there, Craig, not playing with the striker probably harmed us. Preston, I didn't agree with Mowbray's reasoning, if I'm honest. You know, he said he didn't want to play Hemi Arup against three centre-halves, but I still maintain, I think you said it before, I still maintain that if we have a centre-forward in the box, we score a couple of them chances that we didn't score. You know, and that's something we've got to look at. I think we've got to try and be more physical because we know we've played Rotherham so much in recent years. And when we don't get good results against them, and to be honest, they seem to get the upper hand on us more often than not, Rotherham. And when we don't get good results against Rotherham, to me, the thing that's always been the case in that fixture is losing the midfield battle. They put three in midfield and they're just more physical than us. They're more athletic. They're more up for it. They win the majority of the second balls. I think some eagle-eyed viewers had noticed that in the training footage the club released during the week that Luke O'Nien was doing lots of midfield bits and pieces, which is interesting in the training videos. I don't know whether that's a nod towards what might happen against Rotherham, but I think given, and Chris just sort of mentioned it there, given sort of how Neil and Ekwa were at Preston, they were so pedestrian, they just weren't involved physically or even on the ball, just weren't great really, and I kind of worry about them in this particular game. As much as I think those long-term this season are the midfield two that we need to persist with because long-term they're going to both be quality footballers. needs must. And I look at this Rotherham game and I'm thinking people are calling for Bart to come back into the defence in place of 09, maybe move 09 into midfield to give us a little bit more physicality. Put Pritchard in there because we need somebody who's going to give us a bit more potency from the 10 position, play with a striker, and we might be all right. But it's a case of, you know, we can see that these things would improve our fortune slightly, but is Mowbray going to do what he's done so often? And is he going to just go with what he feels we're best at, which is playing teams off the park on the floor, try and pass it round Rotherham, try and play with a false nine and basically do more of what we've already done from the start of this season? And that's just bringing in the more technical players and kind of try and play it round them. What would you do? Do you think we should maybe try and match them up in terms of physicality, or do you reckon we'll just stick with what we're good at and try and I say what we're good at, but we haven't been great at it so far this season, but stick with what Mowbray feels we're best at?
Probably a hybrid of both, really. I mean, I'll be honest, I thought when we were bringing all of these players in, it was to perhaps give us like a variation of what system and mm-hmm. style we can mm-hmm. play. And it's probably worth seeing already that Rotherham will come up here and they will know that if they strike early, that, you know, they will be there to frustrate the crowd, they'll be there to slow everything down. It's probably going to be a bit of an ugly game. As for where we are at the moment, you know, it's worth noting the patterns of play, things like that are a little bit off, so you can still experiment in your early days. So for me, yeah, Hamir has to start. We're at home. If you're not starting the striker at home, then, you know, it's suicide really, isn't it? I think Alex Pritchard definitely should come in. Interesting about 09 moving into midfield. I would have absolutely no problem if he sat in front of the back line just to offer a little bit more protection, because when we have been caught out, the naivety of our midfield has been exposed quite a lot, really, and ultimately it's cost us 2 goals over the past 2 games. So look, I would bring Danny Bart in. I know that, you know, he hasn't had a lot of game time, but at the end of the day, we can be as flashy as we want, but let's be fair, we look at, say, the Luton playoff game last season, and you think when we went down there, we'd done everything right in terms of we tried to play good football, we had all of the ball. But what cost us basically was the fact that we couldn't compete with them because we didn't have the height, we didn't have the physicality, and we're going to come up against teams who play pretty ugly football in comparison to us. And when it comes off with us, you know, it's beautiful. We could have had our own montage of goal of the season, and I don't think any other team would have had a contender, because when we're at it, we're outstanding. But like I say, there's going to be a lot of teams coming up to park the bus. Rotherham will probably be one of them. Massive game, and I really don't think that we can take as many risks in this one. So I'm looking to bring in as much experience as I can. And, you know, perhaps this is last chance saloon for Danny Bart, maybe Alex Pritchard as well, if he's halfway out the doors, it seems. Bring them in. Let's see what they can offer. And yeah, I'm fairly confident if we bring them in that we'll be looking to win the game.
Yeah, I'm just looking over the Rotherham team, Chris, and the seem to have actually changed up the style a little bit. They've brought in some decent players over the summer, you know, but I still think that if they're going to get anything from the game, it's going to be doing what they've done pretty well against us over the years. That's just piling the box, making the most of set pieces, slowing the game down, putting bodies in the middle of the park who can compete. And I just feel like, you know, if we're going to get something from the game, like I said before, we've got to maybe match them in certain areas. That's maybe, you know, when you heard Mowbray talk about Danny Bart, for instance, when he was asked pretty bluntly about why he's not starting games, and he said, look, we think that Luke technically is better, he's more suited to the way we like to play. Danny Bart is very much a sort of kicking and headed type defender. Well, this might be the game where you look at him and think, this is where we actually need him, because when they get set pieces, we need to be able to deal with that threat. So I would be looking to bring him in. Yeah, I just think that we've got to be wary of Rotherham. They haven't had a terrible start. You know, they won their League Cup game. They got a point against Blackburn. So they're going to be up for it. And I guess we've obviously got to look at our own strengths, and we've done quite a lot of good. Like, we've sat here and sort of criticised quite a bit while we've recorded this, but there was a lot of positive stuff to take from the Preston game as well, and we can't just abandon that. We haven't became a bad team overnight. So is it a case of more like what Craig said there, just a bit more of a hybrid of the sort of being more physical, but also trying to keep it technical and make sure we do what we're good at?
Yeah, no, I think we should, well, it's easy to say, But I think we should be beating Rotherham. You know, yeah, you might say they might have tried to change.
How many times have we said that over the last few years, though?
Yeah, I know. But you know, they've slightly tried to change it under Matt Taylor. But you know, first game Stoke, and they've had two games. They've had two players sent off. They've had players sent off in both games.
Mind, did you see that red card
yeah,
that the lad
pushed into the crowd? Didn't he?
Onya Dinmar, he scored, and then he done some sort of like. Then I made some sort of hand gesture and the ref sort of misread it, didn't
he? No, I think, well, from what I saw, I might have had it wrong, but like his teammates kind of pushed him further into the crowd and the ref thought he went right into the crowd and he booked
him
for...
Yeah, but it was for two yellows, wasn't it? I think the first one he got for gesturing towards the ref
about
a booking or something. So they were absolutely gutted about that. So I think he's been a bit unlucky there. And the other red card, the Cafu one, I don't think was a red card either. I don't know if you saw that one, but the lad the same from Forest got sent off in the first game. I don't think that was a red either. But I suppose it showed. I mean, I haven't actually watched them play, but even there, you know, the lad who got sent off in the first game, he got a yellow card on Saturday as well. So it shows he likes a card. Like,
well, let's just hope they go down to 10 men really early, first minute or something.
Be nice for once, wouldn't it, if somebody just gifted us a game?
But I mean, it might be influenced. It might be influenced by the 10 men. But you look at the two games, the Stoke game, they had 29% possession. And then at home against Blackburn, I think, what, was they sending off something like just after half time, something like that?
Just, 50 minutes, I think. I'm just looking at it now. So
they played most of the second half with 10 men, but against Blackburn, they got a draw, but they only had 23% possession. So going off that, yes, they were down to 10 men. But even so, you would probably predict that Sunderland are going to come out of this game with, at the very least, 65% possession, 70% possession. We're going to have all of the ball. And it's going to be one of those games where it's all about us getting the first goal. If we don't, if we take an hour to get, if it's still goalless going into the last half an hour, it's likely going to be ending up, you know, goalless. Then we'll draw the game. If we get a first in the first half, we'll go on to win the game 2-0 or 3-0. It's kind of the nature of this side that we've got at the minute. But you're absolutely right. And I wanted to emphasise that myself, what you've just said there, Gav, like in the two games. If you just forget about the results, if you didn't know what the results were and you just watched the performances in the two games, I think we've played well. I think in both games we've played well. And I don't think there's two, like I said at the very beginning, there's areas, of course, we can look at and say, well, these things need to improve. Of course, we've played two games and we've got no points. But at the same time, we're playing well. And I think what you don't want to do when you're playing well is try and rebuild the whole thing. It's about finding something that works and finding something that works a little bit better and tweaking things. Hmm. And like I said, I was actually staggered that he didn't go into the Preston game because of the... There were so many good things that came out of the Ipswich game. I was staggered that he didn't just speak to the players and say, look, if we go in with a performance like we did against Ipswich against Preston, but be more clinical, and Jack Clark and Patrick Roberts look up because they've got a striker in the middle, and look, Hamia's there, use him. I couldn't understand. And I would love us to go into this Rotherham game with the same setup as we went in against Ipswich, because I think Ipswich were dogged and they're a very good team, but if we'd scored in that first half, if Bellingham had stuck that 6-yard, you know, where the ball rebounded from the keeper, we go on to beat Ipswich 2-0 or 3-0. Yeah. And it's that difference, it's that fine margins between, you know, going down on the first day of the season or romping home and beating a newly promoted side at home and you're away after that. So I'd quite like us to go in the same as we did with Ipswich, but except with a slightly different outlook out wide, where Clark uses Serkin on the overlap a bit more, or Serkin takes one touch and crosses the ball in, looks for Bellingham, looks for Hamia's head, or Bellingham on the edge of the box. I'd like us to go in with the same system, dominate the game just as we did against Ipswich at home, but just have that clinical final third play about us and just tweak it up. As soon as we get the ball in the final third, as Craig mentioned, the patterns of play, practice them. You know, you've got new players who make different runs. They make runs beyond the back four, which we didn't have for half of last season. So learn how to play with them. You know, just tweak things on the training ground and implement them on the day. But you still got to keep that kind of method of play that you've got, where you do dominate sides, because if we keep doing that, we're going to get more, we are going to collect a lot of points this season purely because we dominate sides, and all we need to do is find that cutting edge in the final third, and that'll be the difference between this season mid-table, because this season this season is a tougher championship, and I think we've got to grasp that. Last season, you know, points tally last season wouldn't have made the playoffs in what the last previous 10 years, so it's going to be a tougher championship this season. So we're going to collect more points, but that clinical final third play, and I'm talking about patterns of play, is going to be the difference between mid-table and a playoff position like last season.
Yeah, and I suppose you learn more from your defeats, don't you, Craig? And obviously we've lost the last two games. I definitely think that we played better at Preston, but then part of us thinks, well, we always, even last season, played better away from home. And it's going to hang over us until we sort this out properly, but we've got to have better home form. When you've got 40-odd thousand people in the stadium, you should be harnessing that, and you should be using it to your advantage. And it almost feels like we don't, and to a degree we shy away from it a little bit, and I just think that all we've got to do is harness it. Like, and no player, I don't like talking about him because he's not here anymore, but no player got that more than Ahmad last season. He absolutely loved playing at the Stadium of Light. He loved being able to celebrate in front of fans. He took risks. He did things to excite players, to excite fans even, and possibly the players as well. And, you know, you look at the team now and we don't have him, fair enough. You've got to sort of ask those players who we do have to go out there and do just that. You know, give people something to cheer about. Patrick Roberts, for me, when he was down at Preston, some of the runs he had with the ball, dancing past three and four people, and you're looking at him and you're thinking, if you just had some end product, what a player you'd be. You know, and that's what I'm looking for. I'm looking for them to maybe take the aspects of the performance that were poor, obviously, and improve upon them. But also take the stuff that we did pretty well and amplify that and destroy Rotherham, really. You know, look back to that game when Mowbray's first game. If I remember back to that, he came out after the match and just said, like, I haven't changed anything. I've just basically walked in there, told them, you know, I want you to do this, do that, but I've not changed anything. They've went out and they've done the business. You know, and that's all you've got to do sometimes is just tell the lads, go out there, enjoy it, perform. Take risks. There's nothing wrong with taking risks, and you'll beat them because you've got the quality to do it. And it feels like at times we maybe don't tell ourselves that. Maybe this season anyways. It feels like a couple of those players who had real quality last season, they're maybe not believing in themselves quite enough at the minute. And that's what I would be doing. I'd be trying to put aside the last two league games and be saying, let's start again. Let's start from scratch. This is like, you know, we're only two games in. Let's forget about what's happened before today. If we win today, our season's off and running. And after this, we're looking at Coventry away, Southampton, QPR, Blackburn. Tough games, but there's no reason why we can't get points off those teams. But we've got to start somewhere. And there's no reason why we can't do that against Rotherham.
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, look, we know we've been unfortunate in the past two games. Our home form admittedly hasn't been great over the course of the past year, but it's a great time to obviously start proving people wrong, because there has become a vocal minority, I would say, you know, kind of writing the season off, maybe embellishing obviously the problems, making them a little bit bigger than they are. And look, like I say, there is a bit of nuance to it. We know that we're players short, so it's nowhere near as bad as people are making out. It's nowhere near as good as people are making out. I think we're somewhere in the middle. So basically, we've got to crack on from here. And like you say, forget about the last two games, because ultimately, they're not going to define our season. How we react to it is going to define our season. And based off, you know, the past two games, we've conceded, like I say, some unfortunate goals. But if one goes our way, I think people will be fired up again. There is undoubtedly, I would say, a bit of a playoff hangover there. No doubt about it. But once we've shook that off, hopefully we can get our business right in the next couple of weeks. I think the mood will change very, very quickly.
Yeah.
Like you said, yeah, look,
Don't we? We know that we do. With one or two good results, everything flip.
Well, look, let's look at it like this, right? And I loathe to basically mention this, but when David Moyes wrote our season off basically after those two games, look, it's over. Don't know what fans sort of expected. We're going to be in a relegation battle. It just sort of killed everything. the mood, the vibe, the buzz, everything, it just sort of just fell by the wayside. And you're like, oh, right, this is going to be a shit season. But I think as fans, you know, we've learned to basically sort of just kind of forget about that. And, you know, we've been in a habit of winning games last season. You know, we've been in a habit of coming from behind. And look, you know, we could do this to death. The players have not become bad players overnight. You know, ultimately in the championship, teams are going to beat everybody. It's the nature of this league. Like I say, I think we lost, what, maybe 14 or 15 games last season. It's probably reasonable to suggest that we're going to do the same this season. And it's just how we react to it. So let's just try and, like I say, forget about the bad things. I'm certain that the crowd will be bang up for it come Saturday. Here's hoping to obviously getting a good result, because by God, as soon as it does happen, the momentum will suddenly swing our way again. But I feel if we start taking our chances, we're going to end up hammering somebody, and let's hope it's Rotherham.
Yeah, well, that's been kind of mooted over the last few days. Dan Ballard talked about it after the game. Mowbray talked about it after the game. There's definitely a feeling amongst the players, Chris, that, you know, we're actually playing quite well, and you know, it's not going to take much for it to click. And maybe ignoring the what, you know, and I know you're not on social media, so I'm probably putting this to the wrong person, but you see some of the reaction online, and you think it's not fully representative of actually how things are and the feeling around the place. And like, you've got players coming out saying, look, we feel like we're playing well. I heard Ekwa say it as well. Ekwa said it in that interview with the club, talking about how they feel like, you know, we've played all right, and it isn't going to take much for us just to tweak this and get up and running. You've kind of just got to put that noise aside, haven't you, that comes from outside of the actual football club and what goes on the pitch, and just try and just zone in on it's a game of football, and if we win against Rotherham, the mood will change.
I'm confused, Gav. What are you trying to tell me, that social media isn't a representative cross section of the public opinion? Is that what you're trying to tell us? You're just trying to tell us
that's what they want you to believe.
Because I mean,
if you're into conspiracies, Chris, you know, you can find anything on there. You can go onto Twitter, and I've seen all sorts the last couple of days. KLD's skint, apparently. Trying to kill us from within.
Well, look, that's pretty much why I'm not on there, because you know, most people do want to post because they've got some sort of radical view and they want everyone to hear it. But look, the biggest Craig hit the nail on the head with this earlier on. For the players will not even know what's going on social media. They're just, for things they post, they just post stuff and probably don't look at the reactions. They just want to look at how many people have liked it and all that sort of stuff. But Craig touched on earlier on, the thing that they'll be taking the reaction from is how the fans are reacting after the game. And the fans are showing them that they know that they're not far off. The effort's there. You know, that we've seen plenty of Sunderland sides who we see strolling around the pitch, not giving a crap. And we tell them as much that we think they're not giving a crap. And we know the difference between thousands of fans in an away end or thousands of fans in the stadium alike after the final whistle goes. We've all heard it when the general consensus is it's not good enough. And the reaction is now that, you know, we're saying they've got enough in the bank, credit in the bank, that we think they're going to get it right. It's just, you know, there was a couple of murmurings in the crowd. Yeah, result isn't great. But on general, the fans are showing them en masse that, you know, that the performance is okay and keep plugging away. So, look, I don't want to get bogged down in, you know, so that social media reactions actually count for anything, because I'd like to think, and I think the club are well run in this aspect, because we've got a lot of young players to protect there, don't forget, that they're going to be taught as well, because I think we're now a well-run club in this area, that the club are telling them enough times that none of that matters and it's all fluff and noise and it makes no difference to what goes on in the training ground and no difference to what goes on the pitch. So look, I don't think that makes a difference. I don't think, look, I mean, everybody who I've talked to on an individual conversation, everyone who I've spoke to is having a very, very reasonable reaction to losing the first two games. It's not ideal. I mean, like Craig said, I think we lost 13 last season. We've already lost two. That's not a great start. But look, and I wrote something in the lead up to the Ipswich game about expectation this season. This season, the expectation's been inflated so much by us, you know, exceeding expectations last season. Now, you know, if we'd finished mid-table last season, if we'd finished 15th, 16th, everyone would have went, oh, fantastic season, and we're hoping for top 10. You know, but now we're finished in the playoffs, people are thinking, well, we finished sixth, so we should be aiming to finish higher. Well, it doesn't quite work like that. And especially because we're trying to develop these players at the same time, it's not an exact science. But like I said, the performances are there. And I think we talked about this time last season, I was going to mention that. It was the 31st of August, so we're not far off exactly a year later that we've got Rotherham at home. And we needed Rotherham at home then because it was a good time. And I think we're playing them at a good time this season. And I'm thinking it's going to be a similar score. I'm going to go 3-0.
Well, I hope you're right. I'm normally like the one sat here making the positive predictions.
I'm never optimistic.
You're not? So, I think I need to stop being optimistic. We might win a game. So I'm just going to refuse to give a prediction this week. But Craig, go on. We'll have one off you.
Oh, well, Chris's guys are a bit worried now. Right, well, I don't want to be negative, but we're not really in the business of keeping clean sheets. And we haven't been for some time, pretty much all the way throughout 2023. So I think we'll win the game. I'm going to say 2-1.
Oh, go on, then I'll say 1-0. I think we're going to keep a clean sheet. There we go.
You know, you saying we'll win 1-0 is you being negative.
It actually is, yeah. I don't think I've ever said that. But yeah, now let's just hope that we turn a corner, because I really enjoyed doing these pods last season, and I think I said it at the time. I enjoyed being, because we've been doing this since 2016 now, and it was the first time where I've sat there and I thought, I've just thoroughly enjoyed this start to finish. It's been an unbelievable season, and it made doing this enjoyable. And like, we sat here after two league defeats, getting knocked out of the cup as well, and we're maybe a little bit downhearted and all the rest of it, but we all know that all it takes is one win. And we'll all be thinking about promotion again and thinking, oh, well, we're back in the mix. You know, we'll win a few more, and we'll, you know, it's just the way of being a football fan. All I want to do on Saturday is come away and just feel satisfied. That's all I want. You know, I don't want to be getting beat again. If it's a well-earned point in a good game of football, then we might sit here and go, well, you know what it is? That wasn't a bad point. We played well, blah, blah, blah. But I think deep down, we all just really want that first win, get the monkey off our backs, and kickstart the season. And yeah, I mean, when you look at what we've got coming up after this game, and it's a home game, and I know our home form isn't great, but you've got to look at this and think, right, we've got to win this one. And I think the players might have been thinking of it that way, you know. They've had a week to think about this game, to think about the way we've started the season. And it's up to them to put it right, ultimately. You know, it's nothing to do with Mowbray, it's nothing to do with them, with the owner or the sporting director or all the rest of it. We've got a squad, we've got a centre forward if we want to play with them, and it's up to them to work it out on the day. Let's make sure we leave everything on the pitch and win that game. That's all we've got to do, in my opinion, is just keep doing the good stuff that we've done in the last few weeks, but also recognise some of the not so good stuff and address it, but take collective responsibility, because that's the only way you improve anything, in my opinion. So yeah, I feel like we've ended this one positively yet again. We never seem to end them negatively. That's just not our style at all, is it? So cheers, lads. Thanks for joining us. Cheers, Chris.
No worries.
Cheers, Craig. Thanks to the listeners, as always, for jumping in and joining us and lasting this long. We will be back after that game at the weekend with another podcast. And I'm praying it's a positive one. I'm praying it's going to be a nice, happy occasion.
3-0.
We're all sat 3-0. Merry and, well, you've said it now, so I just hope you're right, mate. Yeah. Cheers, everyone. We'll catch you after the Rotherham game, and yeah, see you down the road.
Hey, Treat mom to healthy, glowing skin with Osea's limited edition skincare sets. Osea has been making clean, seaweed-infused products for nearly 30 years. Their Golden Glow body set includes three clinically proven bestsellers for smooth, glowing skin, while the Glow and Go facial set provides spa-level results at home. Both sets come in giftable boxes with savings up to $48 and free shipping for a limited time. For 10% off your first order site-wide, go to oseamalibu.com and use code MOM.